Before we get started with this Masters edition of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, let me talk to you about mybookie.ag. It's the site we use to give our betting odds for the picks to win. They have top 20s, they have T5s, all the great stuff, first round leaders that you're looking for your PGA bets. And when you use promo code BENCHED when you check out, you get a 50% first time deposit bonus. It's up to $1,000. It's awesome. Mybookie.ag, they have all the sports, they have politics, entertainment, you name it, they got it. And they got just what you need when you making your PGA bets. Use promo code BENCH for a 50% first-time deposit bonus up to $1,000. Deposit $100, get a free $50. $500, free $250, so on and so forth. Also, go check out drafts in your app store, draft.com, for a great way to play daily fantasy sports. Snake-style drafts, just the way you like them. They have auction-style drafts, best ball drafts, depending on your sports. But for the Masters Week, they got PGA year-round, but check it out for the Masters Week. It's a great, great tool. So draft.com, draft in your app store, promo code SD Sports will get you into a free $3 tournament of your choice when you make your first deposit. So draft.com, draft in your app store, promo code SD Sports. Last but not least, if you can leave a rating and review on iTunes, much, much appreciate it. It would help Jesse and I move up the rankings so more and more people could give it a listen. But for now, check out the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2019 Masters. Play. Sir.
Yeah. Kane is in the building. Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come to the show.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the one, the only, the Masters. Hello, friends, as we embark on this great journey between myself, Jesse, and a special guest. You can find him on Twitter at Kevin's Delight. Kevin, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, guys. How y'all doing tonight?
Great, great. Jesse, how you doing, my friend?
Doing great, dude. Masters week. Let's fucking go.
Yes. It's a big, big week. That's why we had to bring one of the big guns out, the creator, the innovator, the mind behind Junkies Contest, Junkies Delight, all that great stuff. So we've had Kevin on a couple of years ago to help Jesse and myself and Sheerden at the time preview the Masters. And we thought it'd be great to bring Kevin back on as he's visited there many, many times. He'll be, I believe he's going again this season. But before we get into the Masters, let's quickly, real quickly, talk about the thing called the Valero Texas Open, where Corey Connors took it down, being the 87th member of the Masters this week. Any thoughts on this past week's tournament, Jesse?
Yeah, dude, that was awesome. So he Monday qualifies, and it's the first time I think a Monday qualifier has won in like 10 years. He only made like 4 out of 12 cuts this year and kind of struggled since the fall season. But, I mean, that's what golf is such a great sport, is because, you know, a guy like Corey Connors can win an event like the Texas Open and basically make his whole career and alleviate a lot of stress from his life and get into the Masters this week, which is just, I'm sure, going to be completely awesome for him. But he had a hell of a round, man. He shot 6 under today and only had 4 pars. It was quite a show, and they, you know, he took down some decent names there. Charlie Hoffman, who's played really well around there. Ryan Moore, another guy who's played really well around San Antonio there. And, of course, Siwoo kind of faltered a little bit today. But happy for Corey Connors, man. It's pretty awesome to see.
Yeah, nothing like a Canuck winning a tournament to get into the Masters. That's always a good thing. Kevin, any takeaways from the Valero Texas Open?
That front nine from Corey Connors today was something special, wasn't it?
Jesse and I were talking about that before the podcast. I'm like, holy crap, because I didn't get to see any of it, but wow, that is special.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I didn't get a chance to watch much. We were pretty busy at work this weekend, and 333 golfers in 2 days at the clubs. So it was game on for us, but it was a great weekend, and always a good week leading up to the Masters. I wish the Shell was still going on, because that was always such a cool event the week before.
I agree with you on that. Like, it was fun to watch the Shell Houston Open and the way they set that golf course up. And this year they tried, I think, some to set TPC San Antonio up like they would, like some conditions they would see at the Masters, but it's not the same.
No, it's not.
And it was pretty crazy with they got like, I think, an inch and a half of rain this morning, and it still played pretty plush, pretty nice. The greens were still rolling at almost 11.5 or 12 on the stump, and these boys were
out there making their shots, shoot, as they say. So it's pretty good. But yeah, the big boys that were leading coming into the round, most of them faltered, and Corey Connors took advantage of it. And it is good to see a guy that, you know, Monday qualifier, and we've seen him make his runs in kind of smaller field events, kind of fall events that aren't over in Asia. And he got it done this week. So it's pretty cool to see. He'll make his appearance at the Masters next week. And again, the 87th member of that event. Let's move on to said Masters, the granddaddy of them all. If we were talking about, you know, football terms, but with golf, the Masters, the Azaleas, everything you want to hear. I'm not going to go Jim Nance on you guys, but it is a great, great experience and a great, great event. 87 golfers now, top 50 in ties make the cut unless you're within 10 strokes, then it varies, but that's the initial idea. Top 50 in ties. Jesse, why don't you give us some past event history on the Masters?
Yeah, so obviously Kevin will go a little bit further into detail about the actual golf course, but it's played at Augusta National Golf Club in Augusta, Georgia, every year since 1934. Last year, I'm sure most people will remember Patrick Reed won by one shot over Ricky Fowler. The year before that, Sergio won in a playoff over Justin Rose. Danny Willett was the 2016 champion after Jordan Spieth put two in the water on 12. He won by three shots over Spieth and Westwood. And then 2015 was Jordan Spieth's year. Bubba's won this event twice. Phil's won it three times. Tiger's won it four times. It's a lot of history, and it's just, in my opinion, the best golf tournament in the world.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Kevin, you've been to this course many times. I know Jesse's been there as well, but Kevin's a regular at this venue. And aren't you going again this year?
Yeah, I'll definitely be going down at least Friday. If I can sink down early in the week, I will, but definitely plan on being down there for Friday. I've probably been awesome. five or six times now, and oddly, I've never been to a tournament round. I've always gone Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday just because I enjoy the practice rounds and then watching the tournament from home or with some buddies, but do look forward to getting down there Friday.
Awesome, awesome. Why don't you give us a course preview? I know before you've gone hole by hole, give us as much or as little as you want, but basically, what do people need to know about Augusta?
Yeah, it's a special place, obviously. It's a big ballpark, but you don't have to be a big hitter. Obviously, you've seen players like Zach Johnson win it in the past, never going for a par five, laying up and hitting wedges for his third shot. Not extremely demanding off the tee. There's really only four tough driving holes, in my opinion. Five will be different this year. You know, they've added 30 to 40 yards to that tee box in the back, so that's going to be a big change for a lot of these guys. Number 11, obviously, is a pretty tough tee ball. And seven is tight. Seven is not overly difficult. And then 18 coming down the stretch can be tough at times, but not overly demanding off the tee. Par fives, the four par fives rank as the four easiest holes on the golf course. So it's a big deal to make sure that these guys are playing the par fives well, because you know that the winner of the Masters this year is probably going to play the par fives well under par.
Nice, nice. Do you take any consideration into, I know they talk about it a lot and you've seen it out there, there's not a ton of rough, but there's all the pine straw and other kind of, like, there's water that comes into play, bunkers that come into play. Is there anything that kind of stands out when you walk around that course that, you know, some golfers might fare better at than others?
You know, it's one of those things that you don't have to be an overly great driver of the ball. I mean, Phil Mickelson won around that place carrying two drivers. How crazy it have to be to show up at a tournament, let alone the Masters, with two drivers in your bag. You know, Spieth at times can be fairly good off the tee. He's struggling now, but he doesn't have to drive it great this week to contend. So it's crazy that play a course like Augusta that is as well known as it is and don't have to be spectacular off the tee.
That's awesome. Some weather we need to look at. It's kind of the talk of the town on all those people that recorded stuff over a week ago when they thought it was going to be nice and beautiful. Weather has changed. There's chances of rain here or there, but it looks like it should stay clear for the tournament rounds. But one thing to kind of keep in mind is it's going to be very cloudy. It's going to still be in the low 80s, so temperatures will be nice, but it's going to be windy. They're talking 10 to 15 miles an hour wind, and you know, where I live in the afternoon, it gets much windier than that. But for the likes of Augusta, it's not too bad. Or it's a big difference for Augusta. for what you guys have seen out there, Kevin, if it does get windy out there, how do you think that kind of affects what they're going to do, like how you have to play the course differently?
Well, it typically doesn't make the board at Augusta set up the course any different. You know, they have their traditional pins, and I wouldn't imagine that Augusta was set up much different. You know, having the sub bears out there, they kind of control the firmness and the pace of the green, so that's always fairly consistent. So wind-wise, you know, it doesn't play a huge factor out there other than maybe when you get to Amen Corner where guys always seem to struggle, you know, hitting their second shot into 11, the tee ball in 12, and then sometimes the approach shot into 13, whether the guys are going for it in 2. If they're laying up, it's no big deal because they're hitting a wedge for their third. But that kind of stretch there has the most effect when it comes to wind. Other than that, the wind doesn't really affect that place too much.
Okay, sweet. That's good to know because it seems to be the talk of the town.
It does kind of sit down in a bowl. Like if you've ever been there, like it's really hilly. Like the television does not do it justice. And so it's like what Kevin said, like it can be shielded pretty good from the wind. One thing to consider too is, you know, everybody does go off of one here and it's just a straight shot basically from the morning to the last guy goes off in the afternoon. So, I mean, there could be some splits or there's somebody gets a little bit of a better wind advantage. It's something to keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah, good to know. Good to know. Good old Amen Corner, as you mentioned. When we're talking about the type of course we're playing, and it's unlike other majors, this is the same course year after year after year. Course history will be humongous at this location. But, Jesse, what kind of key stats are you going to be targeting when it comes to the Masters?
Yeah, I mean, this is, like you said, course history is massive here. The greens are so difficult that having a lot of previous knowledge about the course and the way things break, and it helps immensely. So I will wait, you know, how guys have played here in the past quite a bit. Other than that, greens and regulation, like I usually, you know, use, I will be looking at some other kind of more specialized stats as well. If you will, I mean, shots gained approach is kind of goes along with greens and regulation, but like three putt avoidance. I want guys who are good lag putters for the most part. And then correct me if I'm wrong here, Kevin, but you want to try to avoid driving it left on most of the holes, correct?
Let's see. One, you want to drive it anywhere but the fairway. Two, left, there's a hazard to left. Three is not such a big deal. Five, left is no good whatsoever. Seven is just a straight hole. Eight doesn't matter too much. Nine is a fairly easy drive. Really, for the most part, you know, if you're going to miss it, I think you're right. Missing it right doesn't hurt you at Augusta.
Yeah, I mean, it's if you look at the holes, if you go over them, there's more right to left dog legs out there, but also too, there's just less trouble on the right hand side, and you'll have a better shot of getting it closer to the green or on the green if you do miss it left. So I'm throwing a little bit of drive left avoid into the stats this week, you know, to go along with some of those other ones that I just mentioned. But the other issue here is you don't have any strokes gain stats that are released by Augusta National. So looking at course history that way is a little bit more difficult. But anyways, it's either way, you know, you're still looking at guys who hit it on the green and who are able to, you know, avoid making the big number pretty much.
Interesting. Kevin, what stats are you looking for this week?
I mentioned it a little bit earlier, but par five scoring is a big deal to me. I think it's so important for those guys to take advantage of the par fives when they can. There's not a ton of birdie opportunities out there other than the par fives, so making sure that they take advantage of those when they can. Obviously, bogey avoidance is pretty big to me. Strokes gained putting, three putting avoidance is a big one too. So many opportunities for those guys to three putt out there. And like Jesse said, there's a reason why first timers typically don't win at Augusta. It doesn't happen very often. It's so hard to figure that place out. And to qualify for the Masters and go down there and play a few practice rounds is one thing. But come game time Thursday, it's a whole different ball game. And so if they don't have much of the experience down there, it tends not to help these guys too much.
That's why a guy like Finau, what he did last year finishing T10 was pretty damn impressive, a first-timer there. But it is true. Like, you don't see many first-timers do well here. listening to Jordan Spieth talk about it on No Laying Up recently. It's such a course where you need to learn the greens. The books you buy at the pro shop, like you guys probably have at your course, Kevin, and other places, is they give you kind of the undulations of the green. They tell you where it's sloping. Augusta doesn't do that for you, so it's just constant repetition on the greens and making it work. So and the speeds are crazy. Like Phil Mickelson posting stuff where he had his greens at his house mowed similar to the Masters at 15-6. I don't know if they're 15-6 at Augusta. Correct me if I'm wrong, but he shows it's just such a different animal when it comes to Augusta and the greens, the layout, the kind of shot makers. That's why guys like Bubba somehow does well there. You got to have kind of a creative mind if you're not just like lacing it straight all day long. So it does become very, very interesting there. But I think par five of scoring is very big. And just like, be a good two putter. I'll take that. Like par is not a horrible score on some of these holes at the Masters. Get through to the weekend and see what happens. So it will be very, very interesting to see how it all plays out. All right, a little fan share sports before we get into the DraftKings nuggets here. And I'm not going to go too deep. I usually go like past event history and all that stuff, but and course form and current form and all that. But all I'm going to do is we have information going back to, I believe, 2015 from the Masters on fan share sports on DraftKings. And I'm just going to give you the top guys in this field scoring-wise. Jordan Spieth runs away with it. He's averaging 103 DraftKings points per round since 2015. The second place guy is averaging 89 DraftKings points, and that is Justin Rose. But then it's DJ, Rory, John Rahm, Casey, Finau, Matsuyama, Charlie Hoffman, and Fowler. One thing those guys all have in common, some of the top players in the world. So I think it kind of correlates on, you know, the best of the best usually show up here. They're not first-timers, obviously. They play well. But Spieth, you know, we're going to talk about him a lot probably on this show, and he's talked about everywhere. He's the guy here. Like his course history here is phenomenal. DJs, like all those guys we mentioned play great here, but it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. As Spieth's not coming in the best form, but like I said, that interview I listened to, he knows that he can come to Augusta and play great just because of how much he likes the course, how much he knows the golf course. All right, let's get into the DraftKings, the stuff everybody wants to know about. It's a loaded 87-man field. We have six guys over 10K. You got McIlroy at 11-6, DJ at 11-3, Rose at 10-8, Woods at 10-5, JT at 10-2, Rahm at 10,000. As the guest, Kevin, I'll let you have the first crack at that. Who are you looking at 10,000 and above?
Gosh, it's so loaded, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy.
You can't go wrong. And I said early in the year, my pick to win the Masters this year was Justin Rose. And I think my guess is he'd probably be a little underowned. I love Rory. I love DJ. Out of this group here from 10,000 above, I tend to shy away from John Rahm. And the rest of the guys, I know it's still early, but if I were to pick one of those guys right now, I'd go Rosie. I think ownership might be a little lower than the rest. And I think at that price, I'd much rather have Rose over Tiger and Rahm for sure. If I wasn't playing Rose, I'd prefer to take Rory over DJ at this point.
I like it. What about you, Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much the same. Like Rory is top of everything I look at. DJ's second. So, I mean, it's like, you know, splitting hairs between those two. They both have, you know, the course history to back up their form coming in as well. Dustin Johnson's 10th, 4th, and 6th in his last three appearances here. Of course, 2017, he fell down some steps.
A tragic accident.
Nobody really knows what happened there. I mean, and Rory has been in contention here a bunch. Typically, you know, the guy who is priced highest here will be one of the lower of the bunch up top. So it'll be interesting to see where Rory comes in. He's already got a lot of buzz on fan share. So I don't see him kind of, other than the fact that he's got the highest price going under him. I do like Rory quite a bit. I think Rose is a great pick as well, 10,800. He was the chalk of the chalk last year here. He was over 30% owned, but he was $9,200. And his finishes here include 2 seconds in his last four appearances, coupled in with a 10th and a 12th. I mean, he's got the knowledge to get around this place really well. And his form coming in is good enough. Throw out the missed cut in Saudi. I'm not really worried about that. Didn't play well at the Arnold Palmer, but 8th at the Players Championship. And I do like Rahm. You know, he did finish 4th here last year. He might be kind of the sneaky play if you want to call anybody up here sneaky. I don't know. You know, 6th at the Valspar, 12th at the Players Championship. Like I said, fourth here last year. I'm not a big fan of Justin Thomas. I was huge on him last year. I thought he was going to be sneaky. He played like shit. Finished 17th. It's to me, that's shit for somebody as good as he is. And coming in, he's just not, I'm not really feeling it. Tiger, I don't know, man. It's hard for me to ever get behind Tiger on DK, especially at that price tag. That's just a massive price tag for Tiger.
Yeah, it's tough for Tiger at that price point. And we already know the ownership he'll bring just because of all the common players they're going to want to play against the Masters. They're all going to load up on Tiger. So it's tough to do. For me, it's, you know, you look at DJ and his course history minus the slip down the stairs. He plays really, really well here. Like, he loves this course. Wind's not going to stop him. Like, he can play really great here. I think John Rahm is super sneaky here just for the fact, you know, fourth place last year and his second year here. He's been playing in really good form. I don't mind him. But the guy I like, I'm with you, Kevin, and a little with you, Jesse, is Justin Rose. This guy has circled up here all along, coming in really good form. And he's made all 13 cuts here, five top 10s, a 12th, a 2nd, a 10th, a 2nd, a 14th the last 5 years at this event. So Rosie really does like this a lot. And, you know, if the weather does get kind of nasty, it's not going to stop Justin Rose from putting a nice round together. So I like him quite a bit up here at 10-8. And if you're coming up here, and we'll kind of talk some roster construction at the end, but he's the guy I'd be looking at to sneak away up top.
Yeah, if that trend holds, he's due for another second place finish.
Yeah, that would be outstanding. That's it. You know, hashtag sports betting trends. This is the way it goes. So I'm all for it. He's coming in good form with those clubs here. So those Asian clubs are a mighty good thing, apparently.
The Hamas. All right,
Hamas. Yeah. Have you played those at all, Kevin?
I have not. No.
Okay, just thought I'd
ask. He's team Titleist, dude. We know this.
Oh, I know. That doesn't mean he can't try them.
Titleist truther.
I know, and I'm a Callaway guy, so this is going to be an interesting podcast. No, but all right, let's get to the 9K range here. We got Ricky Fowler on his big finish last year at the Masters, a decent showing of late on tour at 9,700. You got Skinny Brooks at 95, Bryson DeChambeau at 93, Fleetwood at 92, Jason Day at 91, Paul Casey at $9,000. Jesse, what are you looking at here?
So, I never get behind Ricky, especially on DraftKings. You know, he had a really good weekend last year, so he put two really good rounds together to finish second place. I think that will inflate his ownership. And I just always, for whatever reason, I always like to bet the other side of Ricky, so I'll take that. I probably won't play much if I play any of him. I do think he will be super popular up here, though. So that's the only reason I'm mentioning him is I do think that he will garner a lot of ownership just because, again, the whole Tiger, the reason Tiger gets – Tiger's a big name. Ricky's a big name, whether he wins or not. A lot of people like him and like to play him. So just wanted to mention that. But the two guys here that in this region for me are Tommy Fleetwood and Paul Casey, just two of the best ball strikers in the world. And if they can get the flat stick going a little bit, I really like their chances this week. Tommy, you know, was 17th last year, miscut the year before. Coming off a fifth of the Players' Championship where he was in contention until a final round Sunday. So I'm hoping that he can maybe be four or five shots back coming into Sunday and then go out there and post a 600-700, you know, par round and put some pressure on the leaders and potentially, you know, get into a playoff or something along those lines. And then, I mean, I Paul Casey, I don't really have to explain my love for him. 15th, 6th, 4th, and 6th the last 4 years. At Augusta, pretty phenomenal coming off the win at the Valspar. Give me all the Paul Casey at $9,000.
Yep, that's nice and cheap. Kevin, what do you like in this 9K range?
Yeah, I hate to admit it. I'm not a Casey guy whatsoever, but he definitely jumps out in that range right there to me. You know, he's in good form. He had a heck of a start to the year, both at Pebble and winning at Valspar again. I like Ricky in a putting contest. I mean, the guy is so good on the greens. If he's hitting greens, you know, he is damn good with that flat stick. I know his price is inflated and whatever, but man, he's so good down there. I do like Fleetwood. I can't see myself being on Bryson whatsoever down there. I don't know what he's done there in the past, but it doesn't seem like a place that he'd be all that great around. I guess tied 38th in 2018, tied 21st in 2016. But he's not a guy that I have any interest in owning this week. So he'll probably do really well. I'd love to back Jason. Gosh, he's so hard to.
Yep.
I don't know if you guys seen the stuff, that girl yesterday that won had migraines, and people were giving Jason Day a hard time saying he would have withdrew. But man, I think if he gets off to a decent start, he'll be pretty good to own. So I might have a little bit of him in some tournaments, obviously in some of the bigger tournaments that I play. I won't roster him, I don't think, but I'll definitely have him in some of the multi-entry tournaments.
Yeah, he's probably the lowest owned of that whole entire bunch too, just because of his back. People don't like him. They're still jaded by, you know, his WD a couple weeks ago. So it's probably not a bad GPP play.
Yeah.
Day's always a good GPP play because he's going to go low owned. He's got the upside to win any tournament he walks into. Just a matter of where he's going to be. But I'm with you. Bryson's going to be interesting because everyone is talking about if any guy can figure a course out like this, it's Bryson DeChambeau. Well, he hasn't done it yet, so let's just wait and see. But it could be Bryson time. But for me, I'm looking at guys like Ricky Fowler. I'm with you, Kev. Putting contest, he's played really well here. I know he had a great couple of rounds last year, but still, before last year's second, a T11, he had a missed cut, and then a T12 and a T5. So he's played really, really well at Augusta. And the more you get to know it, we talk about it over and over again. Wouldn't shock me if you see Ricky there. Now, when we look at fan share come Wednesday night, if he's super chalky, it's going to be tough to make it happen there. But if I feel comfortable pivoting somewhere else to lower my chalkage-ness, I could go to Fowler. But other than Fowler, I do like Casey quite a bit. That 9K price point with the form he's coming in with his history at this course, it's really, really tough to pass up a guy like Paul Casey at $9,000. So Ricky and Casey are two that I'm really looking at here. I always have a soft spot for Tommy Fleetwood, but it'll kind of have to depend on ownership-wise. But for now, it'd be Casey and Fleetwood for me.
Man, chalkiness, that's a hell of a word. Where'd you come up with that?
When you do about thousands of podcasts per month, per year, you start just spewing shit out of your mouth. It's pretty unbelievable what I can come up with. You'd be surprised.
Can't believe you've never heard of chalkiness. Where are you doing, Kevin? You can listen to some more podcasts, man.
I thought I heard chalkiness. ED. Chalk-head.
No. Chalkiness. Yeah,
I've heard of chalkiness. I was thinking, okay. What the hell?
No, it's just my California slang. I apologize. I'm a little sunburned today from playing golf, so it's gotten to my head. It's very tough. It is. I tell you what. Let's go to the 8K range where there's going to be a lot of tough decisions.
But one thing I want to say on this, when you look at this range, I think one thing you have to do is you have to look at these guys and who could you see of this group putting on the green jacket? You know, you look at Ricky, you know he's going to win a major at some point. But gosh, when he just chokes it away at Phoenix and finds a way to hold on, I mean, can you imagine him coming down the stretch having to make a couple birdies or a couple pars to put on that green jacket?
Yeah, well, that's why he did so well last year. He's coming from behind. Like if he can come, like what Jesse said about Fleetwood, if he's not leading going into Sunday, they have a shot. It's Paul Casey syndrome.
Yeah, you don't want Ricky in the last group. You want him in the second or third or last group, and one or two shots back as playing with a two shot lead.
For sure. All right, let's go to that 8K range where it's going to get fun. Let's let the discussion begin. Jordan Spieth is $8,900. Bubba Watson, 88. Matsuyama, 87. Molly, my boy, at 86. Xander, at 85. Scott, at 84. Philly, at 83. Finau, at 82. Usti, at 81. And the defending Masters champion, Taco Tits himself, Fat Pat Reed, $8,000. Kevin, what do you like in the 8K range?
Well, it's hard to imagine that Augusta is a place that would get your game right, but I do feel like it would be a good week to play some Jordan Spieth. Like I said earlier, you don't have to drive it spectacular off the tee. I know his putter's been a little bit balky at times, but man, I just feel like he knows that place so well. I mean, his history, and you guys know me, I'm a big course history truther, and you know how it is. Even if your game sucks, but you go play a golf course that you really enjoy and a place that you've had some success on in the past, it's hard to play bad golf. And I think people need to really take that into consideration when they're looking at this range. I mean, third, tied 11th, second, first, and second. give me Jordan Spieth in this range. It's not even close. I think Chesko is going to be so high owned, it's going to be hard to play him all over the place. I do like Adam Scott quite a bit in this range, assuming he shows up with just one putter this week.
That's the question.
Yeah, I mean, you just don't know, but as good of a driver the golf ball is, and as well as he strikes it with his irons, he's always going to put himself in a chance to make birdie or or a good chance to make a lot of pars. And I do like that Adam Scott. So if I had to pick two guys out of this range, give me Spieth and Scott.
I like it. Where are you looking at here, Jesse?
This range is really, really fun. Like, you can just make some teams out of this range, and it'll be interesting to see where I think there'll be some chalk, some major chalk in this range. I do agree with your Molly take as far as him being chalky. I'm not going to be on him this week. His course history is okay. But I do think that he garners for me anyways an ownership fade, and just, you know, if he burns you, he burns you kind of thing. I don't know what else you say about Jordan Spieth. You know, obviously he played decently well this past week at the Texas Open, and he didn't have a very good weekend, and that might be good in that it doesn't drive up his ownership as much. I will play some Jordan Spieth. I'm a course history truther as well, and for whatever reason, it's just he becomes magical when he gets on the grounds there at Augusta. Bubba is very playable, 8,800, two-time winner here. Hideki is super interesting, 8,700, 19th, 11th, 7th, and 5th in his last four appearances at Augusta National Golf Club, 8th coming off of the Players Championship there. I don't mind him at 8,700. I don't know about Finau. He's not shown me much this year to really play him. And then another course history guy is Louis Oosthuizen. It's not spectacular, 12th, 41st, 15th, and 19th. But he's played well around here. And if he gets a top 15, he'll pay off very easily. And most people, again, don't like to play him. Kind of like Jason Day, he withdraws and gets hurt quite a bit. But at Augusta, I don't really worry about that with him at all.
Yeah, no, we're all on the same.
Was that Kevin? Got to pack that Tempur-Pedic bed, right?
Well, surely I'm sure he's renting a house down there that has like one of the most luxurious beds there is.
Yeah, he's never had an issue there.
So the one thing about Hideki, he's just like Adam Scott. He's a terrible putter of the golf ball. So in my opinion, if you're going to spend $8,700 on Hideki, I just go down and play Adam Scott. But their games to me are pretty damn similar.
I agree. No, I agree 100% on that. If Hideki gets the putter going, though, he will, I think, easily top 10. Adam Scott, like, literally, I need to know what putter he's using and if he's planning on using 3 or 5 or whatever he's, you know, if he's planning on using a wedge on the green, whatever he's planning on doing. I need to know that before I roster him.
I'm with you on Moldy. You know, 2014, 50th, 2017, tied 33rd, and 2018 tied 20th. And you got to remember, in the Masters, you can take the 87 player field or 82 player field and just cut off the low 30. They aren't even in the tournament yet. So his finishes really aren't that spectacular here.
Right. Well, and in this, if you're going to win a massive GPP, you almost have to have all your guys in the top 10.
Sure. Yeah.
No doubt about it. One thing I'll say, and this might be me and my Molly-isms coming out here, but this is a different Molinari than the previous.
Oh, Masters. Yeah. I forgot. We were bashing your boy. I'm sorry.
He's playing Callaway shit now, so of course you love him.
I wish we were still on camera here, because you guys would see my just sitting there like wanting to yell at someone. No, I'm just kidding. But I get it. I get what you guys are saying. I'm on board with you here. Like, Spieth, you know, he's been no worse than 11th place in his 5 events here. He's been 3rd or better in 4 of his 5 trips here. Like, we're all course history guys. That's pretty damn impressive. You know, Matsuyama and Scott, I like that argument you built there, Kevin, to kind of start a discussion, because they're both really good strikers of the golf ball. We just don't know how they putt. Like, for me, I feel maybe I'm just jaded because of what Scott's done to us at certain times throughout the year. Then there's other times he's like, you know, T12, miscut, T7, T61, second place. That's his last five tournaments on tour. That's outstanding. And you look at Matsuyama, he's been 19th or better in 4 straight years. So it's kind of at Augusta. So it's kind of tough to see where it all plays out. And I think this 8K range, like, if you want to go chalkier up top or in some other spot, this 8K range, you could literally play the ownership game here. You could go to FanShare, you could go to Fantasy National, whatever you're using for your ownership projections. I think it's a good way you could pivot, because there's a lot of similarities in these players that could really help you differentiate your lineups, where we've talked about it before. You don't have to be unique in your entire lineup. You got to be unique one or two places. Sometimes just one place, and that'll win you the whole thing. So one or two places to be unique, and you can make it right here in this 8K range. So you don't have to get super crazy in the crappy 6Ks or whatever, because like you mentioned, you can knock off 30-plus golfers probably out the gate here. So I think this is an interesting spot. Like, so I'm looking at Spieth, Hideki, Scott, and Molly. Those are the four I'm looking at. Obviously, we want to talk ownership when we get there. Before we move on from this 8K range, though, let's just do a quick fire here. Kevin, what do you think Spieth's ownership will be?
Oh, gosh. I wouldn't be shocked if he's, you know, somewhere between 15 and 20% in those tournaments.
What about you, Jesse?
Yeah, I would say that's so tough because, like, the course history is so good, but the recent form is so bad. I mean, last year he was 10,400 and he was on average 21% owned. So I would say he'll be north of 20 again. So, but yeah, again, below 30. So in that, just in that 20 range somewhere.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he's going to be over 20% owned. All right, let's jump into the 7K range where, you know, it's going to be a little more crowded, but still in a loaded field like this is banana lands. You got Kuchar, Leishman, Cantlay, Sergio Garcia, Stenson Poulter, Woodland, RCB, Simpson, Cam Smith, Fitzpatrick, and so many more. I'm not going to name them all, but a loaded field where you can get a lot going on here. Kuchar might be the chalk, but Kevin, where are you looking in this 7K range with all the different options you have here?
Yeah, I do like Cooch. The only issue with him is when's the last time he took a week off? You know, he played match play. He played this week. I think he played the week before match play. So I don't know if that's too much golf for him. His course history is pretty darn good. He tied 4 in 2017, tied 5 in 2014, a couple other top 28, 24. I do like Cooch. Not a big Leishman guy this week. Everyone else can have Cantlay. I won't play any Cantlay whatsoever. Sergio is always interesting to me at Augusta. He's obviously drives it straight and hits the irons. Another one of those guys, kind of like Adam Scott, Hideki. If they can get the putter rolling, then maybe they can contend. Don't know if it's a great play or not this week. I do think Stenson's fairly interesting. He's had some pretty good success when his game's good. He tied 5th last year, 24th in 2016. Did miss the cut in 2017, but I do like Stenson. I do really like Ian Poulter. I'll have a bunch of Poulter. His game's good, and I think he's a player you don't want to pass on this week. I'll have zero Woodland. Terrible course history, and I just don't think he's much of a great player for Augusta. But of the $7,000 range, that's where I'll stay. I won't dip much into the lower half and maybe play some Sneds. But other than that, going down the list, I won't play any Billy Ho for a long time. The guy's just
– He burned us, Jeff. He burned us.
He's tough to root for. Even though my one and done this week was Cooch.
You smart man. Mine was Billy Ho, and that burned my ass pretty good.
Well, I'm sure you at least enjoyed watching him make an idiot of himself on NBC Gold early coverage. It was quite interesting to hear that guy whine a bunch.
Yeah, he's a special breed.
At the low end of 7,000, I will have a bunch of Charles Howe. I hate saying this because I always thought it was – foolish to have this stuff, but in my model, he's 10th.
Welcome to the computer world, Kevin.
On my yellow notepad, I've got him ranked 10th, and I do like playing some Chucky 3-Sticks this week.
We always embrace Chucky 3-Sticks on the Always Pressing podcast, and you know, with Sneds, you mentioned him playing so much. Maybe I can get some, you know, Skechers shoes. Maybe that's the key. You know, look like an old man, act like an asshole. Things might go my direction.
That golly gee, Matt, that doesn't bode too well for him at the moment.
No, I think he kind of lost that luster there. I think he needs to go get a hole in one on Sunday again at the Masters and go high five some kids. That might help him out pretty good.
Yeah.
Jesse, what do you like in the 7K range?
Yeah, Kuchar will be chalky, but I'm going to play the shit out of him at $7,900. I mean, that top 15 is. If he didn't top 15, I would be surprised. He's playing well enough.
Other than Rory, he might be the best player in the world right now.
This is what happens when pricing comes out so early.
He's playing fucking ridiculously well. And then, you know, 28th year last year, fourth year before, like Evan said, he did have a fifth back in 2014 and an eighth in 2013 to go with a third in 2012. So, I mean, the guy's been around here enough and knows it well enough and has the finishes to, you know, backdoor top 10, I think, at least. So he's going to be popular. I'm not worried about that. And in cash games, you know, I think he's kind of a shoe-in. But that one thing about him too, I mean, I know you guys talking about him being an asshole and all that kind of thing. And I totally agree with that. Some of the shit that's gone on with him over the last couple months is pretty ridiculous, but this is the one place where he can go and like not get heckled.
True.
Wouldn't you agree, Kevin? Like nobody's going to give him shit going around Augusta.
Yeah. If they're enjoying their time around Augusta, they better behave. Or else they won't make it back.
Right. They won't make it back and they'll be leaving early. I mean, so he's not going to catch any shit around there. It's one of the coolest things about Augusta is, you know, it's not your typical PGA Tour event where you've got a bunch of yahoos running around and everybody watching behind their, you know, camera phone or whatever too. So it's a special place for that, but also too, like he's not going to be feeling that this week. So he'll be feeling good. And I like Hooch quite a bit. I do like Leishman. One of the reasons being is because he actually leads the field in avoiding driving it left. I know that's just one niche stat, but it's just something I'm just kind of makes me curious. You know, last year, obviously, he was the 36 hole leader, I do believe. He was up there because, you know, he shot 2 under, 5 under. So he was 7 under going into Saturday, shot 73 and then 70 on the weekend. His best finish, he was 9th, you know, last year, besides the 2013 fourth place finish. He had a bunch of missed cuts in between there, at least 2 missed cuts. Either way, I will play Leishman this year. I missed out on that last year, and I've got some FOMO on him. I think Sergio is a great cash play again at $7,700. With Jan Stenson, I think he's interesting. His form coming in is just like, I just don't know where he's at. Because he's just so up and down. Poulter, if he brings the Medina putter and we hear about it all week, I do love him. You know, last year he was playing, obviously he won last year to get in here. He won the Houston Open and then finished 44th, which is not great. He was 49th in 2016, but he does have a 6th and 15th and a 7th place finish in 2012. So he's top 10 here before. And his form coming in this year is better than I believe it was last year. I know coming off the win there, that can change kind of things a little bit. Another guy at 7,000 even is Keegan Bradley. As much as I fucking hate to say it, I mean, he's like, you know, we've talked about these bad putters and guys, but I mean, like at $7,000, it's hard for me to see him missing the cut. I mean, obviously he could, he's Keegan Bradley, but, you know, you save a lot of money if you go there. He did have his first missed cut in like a shit ton of, you know, since the 2018 US Open last year or a couple weeks ago with the Valspar there. So, you know, I'm not worried about him missing the cut here, but at 7,000, that saves you quite a bit of money. And he's kind of the guy that I would look at in that range as far as below 7,500, but, you know, above 6,000 here. So he's my Chucky three sticks there for you guys. So I'm on Keegan a little bit.
Yeah, you guys mentioned Kuchar enough. I'm 100% on board with you there. Again, it's like you play Kuchar chalk, you pivot elsewhere. He's so damn good right now. He's really good at this course. And the beauty of it, unlike some of these other high-priced guys we talked about, he's $7,900. He's top 20 or better. He pays for his price tag. And he's got potential to win this whole damn thing. So there's a lot to like there with the Cooch. I do like the Leishman call there, Jesse. I was on him last year. I heard him talk about it a lot. I've heard his caddy talk about it a lot. They love Augusta. They spend extra time at Augusta. This is a place that Leishman really, really is familiar with. So I think last year wasn't really that much of a fluke. I think we're going to keep seeing him play really well here. I think that's a steal at the $7,000 price tag, a nice pivot as well. I do like the Sergio call. People will see the miscut last year. They'll forget he had a messed up wrist. Prior to that, he's played very, very well here and coming in very good form. Poulter at 76, I'm 100% on board with you guys. I love some Ian Poulter this week. Big, big fan there. I think one guy that we didn't mention a ton here, T20 here last year, a miscut, T29, T28. Is Webb Simpson. The putting has slowly been improving with Webb. I know Kevin's got a soft spot for Webb in his heart, but Webb is getting better and better. So I think he could be one of the lower owned kind of leverage plays there at 7,400. And then I'm 100% on board with CH3. We're a big Chucky Three Sticks, or I'm a big Chucky Three Sticks guy. So $7,000 for a player of his magnitude, if you don't have to drop it in the 6K range, get some salary savings there, I'll go to the Three Sticks all day long. All right, let's jump into the 6K range. I'm not going to name them all off. There's a ton of them. There's also a ton of guys down here that are past winners and some like Freddie Couples of the world type guys. Remember, if you're going to build a lineup to win a GPP, most of them aren't coming from down here. Just throwing that out to you right now. Maybe some will. We'll see. Jesse, what do you like in the 6K range?
Yeah, there's some names down here, which I definitely think are playable. I mean, you've got, you know, Zach Johnson at $6,900. His form coming in for me is not really, but I mean, you know, you step on Augusta and you just never know. Zach Johnson could all of a sudden start making everything. And, you know, so I think he's decently playable at $6,900. Charlie Hoffman's another guy at $6,800. Obviously, he was not playing good this year at all. He had four straight missed cuts before the Valspar, where he finished 18th, and then he finished solo second this past week at the Texas Open. I do think that will drive up his ownership, but at $6,800, again, another guy who I think is very playable. My dude, Kirdek Appy-Barnright at $6,700. He made the cut on the nose last year, finished 15th, and ended up finishing 44th. Finished 15th here in 2016. Won me a bunch of money. So he just stays in my heart. So I will probably have him on a lap or two. Jimmy Walker's another guy at $6,600. I do think he has the upside to top 20 here. And that's really all you need out of a guy in this range if you're going to cash. He was 20th here last year, 18th the year before, 29th, 38th, and 8th back to 2014. So he had a decent showing this past week at the Texas Open. Don't mind him a bit. I'm going to throw another guy out there who's not in the list yet, but I might play some Corey Connors this week. I know you guys didn't say you watched much of it. I watched the whole round today. His swing looks good. He plays a nice little baby draw off the tee. And I know, obviously, he's coming off a win. He'll be in the 6,000 range, I do believe, probably right around the Adam Long, Kevin Tway range, if I was guessing, around $6,400. But I just want to throw that out there that, like, I'm interested in playing Corey Connors this week coming off the win. As good as he looked this past week, he hit a lot of greens. He made a lot of birdies this past week. So he's got to be feeling good about his game and not having a whole lot of pressure. Just go out and play some golf at Augusta National and see what happens. I don't mind him a bit. And so I will play some Corey Connors when they throw him in there, whatever his price is.
There's no pressure playing at Augusta National. Not at all.
I'm just saying he's locked up his tour card for, you know, a couple years. And so, you know, he's going to be able to come in and, you know, hopefully bring that same swing that he had this past week. And, you know, I think it will work well at Augusta.
I like it. What do you like down here in the 6K range, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm a big Charlie Hoffman guy. I played him a bunch this week at Valero. And, you know, kind of perfect storm for him. He's been playing terrible all year. And he gets to a course that he's won at before and he's had some success at. And all of a sudden, he finished solo second.
Yep.
And now he comes to Augusta where he's had some pretty good success. You know, 2015 tied 9th, last year tied 12th, with a couple mid-20s in between. Another place where he can stay healthy and play well. So I do like Charlie. I wish he didn't play as well as he did over the weekend, and people notice that. But when I come down this area, I'm going Charlie Hoffman. I'm going Kiz. Kiz has also played well down here in his couple appearances. And well enough to make it worth, you know, rostering a guy at 6,700, made the cut the last 3 years. And other than that, Jimmy Walker's had some success. That's kind of an interesting name that you wouldn't expect to play great around there, although he is a fairly high ball hitter and can launch it onto the right portions of the green to make sure he avoids as many three-putt opportunities as possible. The last 2 years, tied 20th, tied 18th, tied 8th in 2014, made his last five cuts here. So that's a guy I'll probably have some. Other than that, I probably won't be in this area much at all. I can't see many guys in here that'll win you a bunch of money.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, like we talked about a second ago, in that 7K range. If you're going up top, you're going to have to possibly go down here if you want to stay in the middle as well. So it'll be interesting to see how the roster constructions build. A couple guys I'm looking at, I do like the Hoffman call. I wish, like you did, he didn't play well, but we're talking about Hoffman's course history at Augusta. Well, he had that great course history at Valero, and it showed. So definitely a guy that we've seen in other tournaments in his career. When course history comes into play, Charlie shows up, him and his waste management lid make it happen. I'm with the guys on Jimmy Walker. I think that's very interesting. Kisner, the George boy, does play really well here, as you mentioned, so I don't mind him at all. Sucks he's coming off that win at the match play to kind of get people's attention at 67. I'm going to go back to – I was on him big this week. He shit the bed on Sunday. But Siwoo Kim at 67 has my attention again. When he made his first appearance here 2 years ago, missed cut, but then the second time through, T24 here last year. We know Siwoo can be tilty in his hell because he can go off the reservation, but when he contends, he contends. So if a guy coming from down here is going to get you a T20, maybe even a T10, I could see Siwoo making a little bit of noise here at $6,700. And the only other guy I want, because I'm talking like driving accuracy, but he's made 4 or 7 cuts here, didn't play last year, missed cut in 17, then a T55, a T12 is Kevin Na at 6,500. Coming in pretty good form with the T5 at the Valspar. So not at that price point gets my attention. But it is an ugly range. It's a range you're going to have to go to if you want to get crazy up top and still get some other guys in the 8s and the 9Ks. But if you want to get a little more balanced, you can stay away from here and definitely see guys contend, like Kevin said, to make things happen. All right, before we get into some more finite questions, let's just do a quick recap again. Up in the 10K range, just give me the one guy you would have up here, Kevin.
I'm going one guy in the 10K range right now. Give me Justin Rose.
Jesse?
Be Rory McIlroy.
For me, it'd be Justin Rose as well. If we go just one guy in the 9K range, Kevin, who you got?
Give me Paul Casey.
Yeah, I'm with you on Paul Casey. Jesse, you going to deviate from your man?
I mean, it's really close between him and Fleetwood.
Your two guys, yes. Okay. 8K range, not named Jordan Spieth. Who you got, Jesse?
Give me Bubba.
All right. What about you, Kevin?
Yeah, we didn't talk much about Bubba at all, but that's a very intriguing play for sure. I will have some Bubba, but one, if I was just going to play one guy in this range, I'd go Adam Scott, not named Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, I know I'm going to take the short way out here. It depends on ownership, but whoever's lower on between Matsuyama and Scott would be my one guy. That's where I would go that direction. In the 7K range, give me two guys, Kevin.
Well, I think
not named Matt Kuchar. Not named Matt Kuchar.
That was going to go directly to Kuch, but yeah. I won't do that. I would probably go with Stenson and Poulter right here back to back.
I like that quite a bit. What about you, Jesse?
Yeah, be Leishman and Poulter.
Yeah, I'll go Leish and Poulter as well. Those would be the two guys I'd be targeting. And if you had to have one punt below 7K on the 6K range, Kevin, who are you looking at?
For me, it's Hoffman. And the one thing about Hoffman, too, is, you know, a lot of times when you play cash games, you can find a guy who has such good course history that in my opinion, is mispriced due to his course history. He's a guy that you can take in a cash lineup and then just load up on another big name.
100% agree. What about you, Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, I agree 100%. Like, it's Hoffman in this range, and it's pretty not even really close with the other guys. But, I mean, Kiradek is the GPP play.
For sure, for sure. And I'll go Hoffman as well in that realm. Okay, before we get to our picks to win, I have a couple questions. Since both of you guys have been to Augusta, and I want to get your opinions between – it's just we can talk DraftKings-related and just overall-related. We'll go Kevin, then Jesse. Will you be playing any first-timers this year at Augusta, Kevin?
As of now, on Sunday evening, no.
Jesse?
Yeah, I'm not seeing anybody at this point that, like, sticks out that I just really want to try to jam in.
Kevin, when we're building lineups, you said you didn't really want to get in the 6K range, and I totally understand why. Without giving away all your secrets to your model, what type of lineup build are you looking at right now?
Well, I think we've talked about some of that 8K range. You could build so many good balanced lineups. You know, if you went even with Jesse's guys, Leishman and Poulter, and build around those two guys, you can load up with some guys at the top of the lineup that'll be so good. I think find, you know, the one or two guys you really like at the top and then just being balanced the rest of the way through.
What about you, Jesse?
What was the question again?
Looking at this initial like look through on DraftKings, what kind of lineup build are you going to be focusing around? Like stars and strands, balance, stuff like that.
I think I'll go both. Like, so obviously, you know, it, and sitting here on Sunday night, it's hard for me not to see Rory, DJ, or Rose winning this. I mean, so like trying to fit those guys in, you have to go stars and scrubs, obviously. But yeah, I mean, it'll be a combo. It's just, it's hard to say for sure. I mean, it'll probably be a lot of different ways because I'll, you know, it's Sunday night and I'll start building lineups tomorrow, Tuesday, and then I'll have 1,000 before the, you know, thing's over.
All right, Kevin, what number one thing, if you can only do one thing, if you're a first timer going to Augusta, what would you tell them to do?
I've done it every time I've gone just because it's so special. You walk in, and first of all, you walk in, you pass the merchandise stand on the right, you get to the big scoreboard with all the flying, and you're kind of in the middle of the first fairway. Walk back behind the first tee, and then just walk the entire golf course 1 through 18. It's an astonishing walk. You can get a beer when you first walk in. Walk 1, 2, 3, get a beer. Walk 4, 5, 6, get a beer. Walk 7, yeah, walk 7, 8, 9, get a beer, and a few sandwiches along the way. But you've got to walk the entire golf course. There's no point getting there and rushing down to Amen Corner. You've got to see the entire place.
I like it. Jesse, as someone that's been there as well, what's the one thing you'd recommend people do?
I mean, I agree with Kevin there. It back behind 5, though, there's a nice little shopping area where you can basically spend every dollar you have in your bank account within about 5 minutes and not even realize you did it. So heading back there is, I think, a cool little spot to be. But I agree with Kevin, man. You got to see the whole golf course. Like, it's such a special place. It's just it's hard to describe how cool the place is. I mean, it literally is like, I can't put it into words. You just got to go and see it. I mean, if you get the chance to go, 100% go. And like Kevin said, walk every single, and your feet will fucking hurt afterwards. Mine always do. But just walk, because it's hilly. Just walk the whole thing and just see as much as you possibly can. Take it all in.
Yeah, I feel you guys there, because like I go to Pebble every year, and even when I walk in the first time each year, I'm still in awe of how awesome the place is. And then I hear guys like yourselves and others talk about Augusta. I'm sitting there going, yeah, I must be missing something because I need to go out there and check it out. But, yeah, I say that for any term. I go walk the course, but I can only imagine at Augusta. Kevin, you mentioned the beers. You mentioned some sandwiches. We always know that people will tweet out that, you know, Darren Revelle will come through with a nice picture of the menu with the price points. If you had to order one thing to eat, we'll stick with food. One thing, what would you recommend?
No, I love the egg salad sandwich down there.
There we go. I was wondering, because it's egg salad, it's pimento and cheese, and a couple other things. So egg salad is for you.
Jesse, yeah, the egg salad makes for an interesting ride home with a bunch of guys in the car, though.
I was wondering, between all the beers and egg salads, that's going to get a little sporty in there. Jesse, what would be your one food item at the course?
Yeah, it's egg salad. I'm not a pimento cheese guy, and so, you know, if I'm going to do it, it's eggs. But that's like so cool too, because everything is so cheap. That's one thing Kevin didn't mention. It's like, what is it, like $2.50 for a beer or something?
Yeah. Yeah. You can save your cups.
Save your cups. I'm still drinking from 2015 Masters cups.
That's outstanding. I'm jealous because yeah, Pebble's not that cheap. All right. We'll get a little back more on the serious side of things here. Kevin, what score do you think wins this thing this year?
I think they're due to get a fair amount of rain Monday, Tuesday, so the place could soften up a little bit. Like I said, they can control the score pretty well at Augusta because of the sub airs. I would say this year the winning score is going to be 12 under.
What say you, Jesse?
I think 12 under is pretty good. You know, I mean it. It really depends on how difficult they want to make it. It's supposed to be a little bit of rain, so it might soften it up just a touch. And if so, then scores will be a little bit lower. But, yeah, I mean, I think it just barely over the 10-under range there.
All right. Let's get to the point where everybody wants to know. Kevin, give me your pick to win and give me kind of one long shot as well.
Yeah, so I'll tell you that so far I have bet Rory, Day, Rose, and Tiger to win. I've said all along that Rose is my guy this year. I'd love to see Rory put on the jacket, but my one to win it is just is Rose.
Okay, Rose is at 16-1. Who's your long shot?
Long shot. I'd love to say speed. I know he's not much of a long shot, but it would be such a cool story to see him win it with the struggles he's going through.
Yeah, it would be crazy to see him win it with all this going on here. Jesse, who do you have winning this? Give me a long shot.
Yeah, I mean, Rory would be my guy. That's, you know, of the favorites or whatever.
6.5 to 1.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bettable, but it's the one thing about a lot of these majors is you can kind of catch some guys after the first or second round if they have a bad round, and you know, you can get them a little bit better price. Did that last year with Brooks at the U.S. Open. I think I got him at 80 to 1 after the first round or something like that. So, anyways, Rory up top for me, and then more of the long shot guy is going to be Leishman.
We can get Leishman at 45 to 1. I like it. I like it. Kuchar's 45 to 1 as well. For me, I'll go Rosie at 16 to 1. That Kuch price does stand out quite a bit. If I'm going to go super, or not super, but more of a long shot, I don't know why I'm thinking this. I don't know if it's because Kevin's on the pod or not, but give me some Webb Simpson at 80 to 1. I think that's going to be
there. You go.
Poulter's 80 to 1 as well. So those are kind of interesting odds as we look at it here on a Sunday, as things will change throughout the week as more Pat Mayo podcasts come out and Alliance change, all that fun stuff. But that wraps us up, gentlemen. We have the Masters this week. Any closing thoughts, Kevin, like what you got? You know, you're posting your picks all the time. We got the one and done picks. But what's your thoughts on the Masters, closing thoughts for people?
I think it's really kind of the start to the true golf season, really. I know they moved the Players up earlier this year, and it's great having it in March. But really, it's kind of the start to the country having their golf season. You know, it's true what they say. It's a tradition unlike any other. It's so cool to have a major that goes back to the same course year after year. It's so exciting. It's one of those things where you watch every shot and you don't mind watching the rerun when it gets dark outside. Even though golf's over, it's still a cool spot to watch extra golf from Augusta. So it's just, as a golf professional, it's my favorite time of the year, and I can't wait for it to get started.
Awesome. What about you, Jesse? Final thoughts?
Yeah, it's the it's the best golf tournament of the year, in my opinion, as well. And like Kevin said, it kicks off the golf season, especially for us. You know, I know Kevin's North Carolina, I'm in Kentucky. It's in the South or the upper South, whatever. You know, we're just getting, this is like springtime, so we're actually starting to play golf. So it just makes things more exciting, and it's a lot of fun to watch. There's really good coverage as well on, you know, all week. You get feature groups, you'll get the holes, Amen Corner and that kind of thing. You can even watch guys on the range. It's a blast. And like I said, if you ever get the chance to go, like, do not turn it down.
Yeah. DirecTV does it well. They do the full coverage, all the channels, really good stuff there. But it's going to be awesome. It is a great tournament to watch. It's one of those where some people sneak out early for the March Madness. I kind of sneak out early to go watch the Masters from work. It's a great, great time and a great venue to watch. Like, literally, like you guys said, they call it traditional like any other for a reason. Like, it's pretty damn awesome. So Jesse and I, we've been looking forward to this for a long time. We talked about it a while ago to get Kevin on. We're glad Kevin could join us. Like, it's a big deal. It's a really, really awesome golf tournament. So go check it out. Go check out Kevin on Twitter at Kevin's Delight. Lots of good stuff all the time over there with Kevin and the Junkies Leagues and all the other stuff he's got going on over there. Jesse's on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BDentric. And go check out at Fantasy Degens on Twitter, Fantasy Sports Degens. We'll have our one and done picks every week. Kevin's a part of that. And we have that free Slack chat where guys are always chatting it up in there. Kevin drops in his notepad once in a while with his humdingers. So come check all that out. It's awesome. Awesome stuff. But Kevin, thanks for joining us again, man. We really, really appreciate it.
No, thank you guys so much for having me. It's great to have met you guys since we started this thing, I guess 3 or 4 years ago now. It's been awesome. Bubba, just one thing, be careful on that seaweed deal. Check out his rib issue that he had toward the end of the round. Make sure you don't roster too much of him if he's injured.
I appreciate that. I was golfing today, so I did not see a damn thing. That makes sense why he shit the bed.
I don't know. But I forgot to mention, I was going to say something, then we moved on. And anyways, seaweed was grabbing his rib cage, and I'm sure that will be talked about plenty this week, so you'll see it.
Good to know. Well, everybody, this was the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast previewing the 2000 Masters. Hope you guys have a good one. If you have any questions, hit us up. We'll catch you guys later.